Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Monday. YouTube live chat poll for today. Have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? Brad is off today, and it's due to the government shutdown.
Yep. We had to let him temporarily go.
No, we did not. Brad's out today. Ethan's in studio with us throughout the course of the day, and we are going to make do. How's that make you feel, Ethan?
It makes me feel something. I don't know what.
I bought everybody coffee today. So
yep.
If anything, we will be energized.
Yes. A lot of energy, nowhere to go.
We have spin in circles in your chair.
3 p.m. That's where we go.
All right.
And we don't stop till we get there. Sounds like a Michael Jackson song. The government shutdown, I just had a conversation with my dad. Now, my dad owns part of a farm, family farm. And he said to me this morning that he got a check from the government.
Ooh.
From the United States Treasury. It's like $100 or something. It's not a huge check. But he owns a farm. But he just, a check with no explanation. He doesn't know where it came from or where it's going or what it's for. But he needs to know, is that his money because it came to him or is it farm money? And he's been trying to call people to find out where this like $100 came from and he can't.
Okay.
Because of the lapse
in
funding is what the voicemails say. So my dad has inherently been affected by the government shutdown. Except for the fact that his problem is that they sent him money. I would like to have this problem.
I have had this thing happen too, except I don't think it's the government. Mm? But I still can't figure it out, and I'm afraid to
ask. Is it a prince in the Middle East?
It's a
money?
It's a guy in Nigeria who said he's going to give me tenfold whatever I give him.
Yeah.
So I did it.
That's
I'm waiting.
The only smart move to make.
It's going to be great when it cashes in, but. No, I've really, really had a bank error, like the old Monopoly card. It says a bank error in your favor. but it's been 2 months in a row, and it's the same amount. And I'm afraid to ask because I'm afraid that it's an actual error that they've messed up, that they're giving me money.
Pretty sure you're liable for that with no statute of limitations.
Oh,
you should figure it out sooner than later.
Sorry, I just wait it out.
You know, we talk about the government shutdown. It's easy to talk about the government shutdown in a political way. But, you know, the poll question could be today, who do you blame for the government shutdown? Well, tell me who you voted for, and I can tell you who you blame.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really a way around that. That's just kind of how it is. We've got Ryan Schmelz on with us at 1:30, so 90 minutes from now, we'll be talking with him, and he'll give us the latest from Capitol Hill. Speaker Johnson, I think Mike Johnson is a fantastic speaker. Because he's a policy guy, he's kind of pleasantly boring. I don't say that in a pejorative way at all. He's soft-spoken. He's soothing when you listen to him. And he knows his stuff. It's, you know, Kevin McCarthy was a fundraiser. That was apparently what he brought to the table that was near irreplaceable, that he could just really raise funds. He's the one who got the original Republican majority back when they got it. He's a fundraiser, but then also he was good with the politics and the mastering of that bully pulpit of being the Speaker of the House. Mike Johnson, who has the most normal name in the history of names. Name Michael Johnson. What? Maybe a Smith. But I think Johnson is near up there with Smith.
Yeah. Rick Jones. You know.
Jones, Johnson, Smith. Yeah. Michael, super normal guy. He's from Louisiana, but he looks kind of like an accountant therapist. which is really what we need in, as the Speaker of the House, somebody who's going to look at the sense, literally and figuratively, of what the people's dollars are doing and say, we can do this, and there are some things that we just cannot do. We cannot afford to do that. And Mike Johnson has made that very explicitly clear. Isn't it refreshing, Ryan, to hear them say, we can't spend, what is it, $1.6 trillion on the Medicaid funny business that the Biden administration put into play that would allow illegal immigrants to use taxpayer dollars for medical help. They use the emergency room as their, you know, when people say like, okay, illegal immigrants are going to the emergency room, it's very easy and sensible to say, what are they supposed to do? Not treat them? Well, of course, they're supposed to treat them. You're supposed to, that, you know, a do no harm oath that the medical providers take. But they're not going to the emergency room because their arm is dangling from their body. They're going because they have a cold. And then the taxpayers fund that. And that is because the Biden administration put in loopholes of sorts that allowed Medicaid to fund these things. The big, beautiful bill removed that from existence. And the Democrats, Chuck Schumer, they want it back. And the Republicans are like, absolutely not. That's not happening. Do the Democrats have a leg to stand on right now, Ryan?
No, not only this already passed in the big, beautiful bill. So they're just trying to sort of claw it back. But they again find themselves on those 80-20 issues on the wrong side, on the 20 side, where this is not a popular stance. So when the government is shut down and people are going, well, why is it shut down? You know, both sides always blame each other. That's nothing new in this battle either. The Democrats are going to blame Republicans and say, you guys are not even in Washington right now. How can we vote on anything? And then the Republicans are going to say, well, you guys are asking for ridiculous things. If the message is that the thing, and this is what Democrats are trying to do, it's not Republicans painting them this way. If the message is that Democrats are keeping it shut down because they want to fund more health insurance, and a lot of that is for, some of that at least, is for illegal immigrants, that is a losing message. And that is one of the reasons they're going to lose this battle if they don't back off of that.
I fail to see a single place where it is a winning message. There are places in Democrat circles where if this message was going to work, if this was going to track, that in these different locations, the message would work there. And Kristen Welker on Meet the Press with Hakeem Jeffries, you would think that this would be a place where the message would be able to work. You'd be able to kind of talk it out.
Let me ask you, because you say this is a Republican shutdown, but it's Democratic senators who are withholding their votes on what is called a clean resolution. That means no strings attached, which is something, quite frankly, Leader, that you and other Democrats have advocated for in the past. Take a look.
You do not use the threat of shutting down government to try to advance your policy agenda.
First thing that the House has to do is pass a clean six-week CR.
A continuing resolution that is at the fiscal year 2023 levels is the only way forward.
And that would be Hakeem Jeffries, who is currently in an interview right there with Kristen Welker, saying a clean CR is the only way to do it. This is a clean CR from the Republicans. The Republicans are not using their majority in the continuing resolution position. They're saying we're just going to do exactly what has been passed before and buy ourselves the 7 weeks or so of time to negotiate the hard, difficult things. And, you know, Ryan, I don't know what kind of hopes you have. They're going to have to get seven Democrats and Rand Paul to agree to some sort of budget. Like, I don't think Rand Paul is going to be on the table.
You never know. You never know about him. He could, at the last minute, decide that he likes something about it a lot. But, I don't know exactly how this plays out because, so far, nothing's really changed. We were looking to this weekend to say, oh, yeah, there's been some news. There really doesn't look like there has been any news.
It's still at a standstill.
Yeah.
Do you think there are a lot of things happening right now in politics that I am asking myself the question, does this affect the midterms? We're almost a month out from the a year out from the midterms. Hugely consequential midterms in the state of Illinois because we elect our statewide offices in the midterm election. Our governor, our lieutenant governor, attorney general, comptroller, all of these different things, treasurer. We have a lot at stake in 2026. Missouri will have your House districts, your new 7-1 map of House districts. Is Josh Hawley up in this next election? Did he just win?
I think he just won against Lucas Kuntz.
Missouri will be not a huge topic of conversation in the midterm. Illinois will be huge. And we'll get to, with Will Chamberlain in about 5 minutes here, we'll get to Will Chamberlain and his thoughts on what's going on with the National Guard being sent into Illinois, all of the opposition that Illinois elected officials are showing the federal agents who were there enforcing federal immigration law, and the local police chief who told his officers to stand down from ICE officials, federal law enforcement agents that were being surrounded, that had been rammed with a vehicle. The local police chief said, stand down, you will not render aid. How's that going to affect the midterm election? We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But this moment in government shutdown, in the timeline, I can't help but think that the Democrats desperately need a political victory. Anything. I don't know that they've had a political victory in 2025. Tariffs, Liberation Day. Tariffs were supposed to be, they were supposed to prove how wrong Trump was. They didn't. The adjustments, you love the adjustments that they make, you know, in Biden administration, Ryan, and then now in the Trump administration. All of the adjustments that had to be made towards economic numbers, jobs numbers, the numbers were always initially reported as much more favorable to Joe Biden than they actually were. The adjustments always went against Joe Biden. What are the adjustments doing in Donald Trump's administration?
They're just all over. They're just incompetent. I mean, that's what they look like, is you cannot figure out why they continually get these so wrong, because they're not a little bit wrong. They're like historically wrong over and over and over again. And then, I mean, a little bit of a soapbox here. Trump goes to fire that person and everybody goes, oh, Trump's fired him because he just wants more favorable numbers. No, Trump wants real numbers. You can't base anything economically on fake numbers, and they've been fake for 5 years.
And they always favor, the fakeness of them always favors the same person, same party.
For 4 years, they favored Joe Biden. In the last few, you don't know what they were doing, last few months. They've been all over the place.
They've had a lot of numbers that the corrections come back and they are much more like, the economy was doing even better than you thought it was going to
be. They kept interest rates high.
Yeah. And when you correct jobs numbers, when you go back and have to recorrect jobs numbers and it looks like things aren't going as well as they were, it's because the origin numbers coming out of the Biden administration were poor. So if the numbers are worse than they were being reported, it's because now they're correct. These numbers are never initially reported in a way that is punitive to the Democrats. And that's the bureaucracy. That's the swamp. Man, the swamp has its tentacles into every square inch of Washington, D.C., and it is Donald Trump's job to get it out of there. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to join Will Chamberlain next. He's a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, and I'm going to talk to him about what is actually taking place in Illinois. Of course, you have ICE present in Chicago. What was it, Midway? The operation Midway.
Was there a name for it? Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I could see it on my Friday cut sheet. I'll figure it out. It's Midway Blitz, I think. Midway Blitz.
Okay.
Is the effort to go into Chicago and get the violent, illegal, gang-affiliated members who are here illegally out of the country. And Brandon Johnson's like, no, we will protect those people. We will keep them here. While protests around ICE agents at their facility, there is a car that rams itself into an ICE vehicle. They ask for help. They ask for aid from their local law enforcement. And that local police chief says, stand down. We will not be providing aid. We are providing no additional assistance to that area. Are you kidding me? Let's talk to Will Chamberlain about the legality next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. We are grateful for you to be with us on a Monday afternoon. There is quite a lot of hubbub going on in the state of Illinois. And as an Illinois resident, you know I talk about Illinois politics quite a bit. We're downstaters. I guess this is what upstate New Yorkers feel like. Maybe there are a lot of people in New Jersey, especially with their governor race about to come about, who are sick of their state going the way of the big city. Chicago's 65% of the population, Cook County is, of the state. So in Illinois, we're used to seeing our governor act a certain kind of way, but this is a little extra. What we've seen ICE come in to Broadview, we've seen ICE come into the state of Illinois in orders to get people here illegally out of the state, out of the country, just like it's been taking place everywhere else. But for some reason, these people have a very significant protected status in the state of Illinois, and it's coming to a boiling hot temperature right now. I want to bring Will Chamberlain in with us to talk about this. He's a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. On X at Will Chamberlain, a must follow, article3project.org. Will, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today to talk about this issue.
Always good to be with you, Annie.
So I want to ask you to set the tone for us. Like, what do you want average people to understand about, you know, the federal government sends ICE in. ICE gets protested by the locals in the area there in the state of Illinois. To the extent that those protesters are taking vehicles and ramming them into federal property vehicles, and the federal agents call for local help. And what we have heard this weekend is that the chief of police there said, yeah, we're not going to help. Stand down. What does this mean to you, especially from a legal standpoint?
Well, from a legal standpoint, it makes it extremely difficult for the federal government to effectively enforce its laws in Chicago and in Portland, where something very similar is happening. Riots outside ICE facilities and a complete refusal from the local police department to provide any meaningful assistance to deal with lawlessness outside of those facilities. Because there's not actually a huge number of federal law enforcement officers whose job it is to protect federal facilities in particular. There's a specific agency in DHS that does that called the Federal Protective Service. They only have something in between 700 and 1,100 officers available to deploy for every federal facility in the country that DHS is responsible for. And so, for example, in Portland, over 100 officers of the Federal Protective Service have been detailed out there. That's 15% of the overall strength of the agency for one single building. And those people, in order to keep the federal staff protected, are working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week. They're working flat out. And this wouldn't be necessary if local authorities were dealing with the lawlessness on their streets, which they should be. But since they're not, basically, the real problem here is that there's just simply not enough resources currently in the government if you don't call in the National Guard to help bring in law and order. And so that's why it's so necessary. It's not about, oh, the military needs to occupy all of the city of Chicago. It's like, no, there really is. The federal law enforcement resources are strained because of the continuous lawless protests, riots, attacking of federal officers that is not being handled by local police at all.
So I've heard Mayor Johnson, Brandon Johnson of Chicago, 5% approval rating there in the city by his own electorate. Governor Pritzker, of course, who wants to be the president of the United States more than he wants anything, have said there's no problem here. We don't need any sort of federal law enforcement. Certainly don't need boots on the ground in the state of Illinois. We've got everything under control. can they make that case that they can handle what's going on in the state of Illinois on their own? Does the federal government have the right to come in and say, you've had a shot at it, you do clearly have a problem on your hands, and we're going to take it from here?
So despite the fact that in Portland you have this district judge who said said otherwise, the law is very clear on this, that the president has an enormous amount of authority to recruit and call into service the National Guard to protect federal officials and federal property if they're under threat. So it's really not the governor of Illinois' call to make. He should cooperate, but even if he doesn't, federal authorities will ultimately prevail here. And I think that the legal effort to try and stop this is going to fail. And you should understand, I mean, when you're really thinking about it, it's not merely, it's an absolutely contemptible legal stance to be taking, to on the one hand, refuse to deal with the lawlessness outside of these facilities where ICE agents are getting attacked, ICE agents are getting rammed, ICE agents even got shot at in the city of Chicago recently. So on the one hand, you're deciding, well, we're just not going to police that. We're just going to cede this to the domestic terrorist group Antifa. And on the other hand, when federal authorities say, okay, we're going to provide our own resources, we're going to recruit the National Guard, which is a federal institution at the end of the day. It's, you know, state has some control over it, but it's a federal institution. And these states are going to be like, no, you can't. You can't do that. So we're not going to protect you, and you can't protect yourself. I mean, everybody listening to this should be disgusted by that. As a person who believes that American law should be enforced, it's incipient rebellion against federal authority.
Ugh, amen to that. Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, article3project.org, on X at Will Chamberlain. I want to bring this down to super basic level terms just so that people understand what we're all talking about, because there's a lot of layers of law enforcement and federal agents involved in this. You're talking about ICE. That is a federal agency. We're talking about National Guard. You know, that's, from what I understand, nationally controlled, but there's also a state element to that as well. But this weekend, we heard that the reports that these agents were being surrounded by a mob of protesters. I think a riot was declared. They were surrounded. A vehicle came in and rammed their vehicle. They called in for help. They called the people who we call for help, the local police. And my understanding is the chief of police there said, we will not be participating in this. We're going to stand down. I've heard the call. What is your assessment of all these different layers of law enforcement and your thoughts specifically on what that chief of police did?
I mean, it's a horrible thing for a chief of police to do. I mean, they should be responding to any call where somebody is being attacked by a car, trying to, you know, essentially trapped. That's a crime of false imprisonment at a minimum, and also assault, you know, a vehicular assault, you know, attempting to run, you know, ram somebody with a car. It's a serious crime. The idea that you just wouldn't take that call because you don't like the victims, well, that's insane. And that's a violation of the civil rights of the officers in check. And honestly, I mean, if the state government is going to simply refuse and treat federal officials as though they're persona non grata, that they're in a state of exception with regard to the law, that the law applies to everybody, but it does not protect federal officials. I mean, it's hard not to say that that's a rebellion against federal authority by the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. Yeah. And what the consequences of that are substantial. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think there's any meaningful ability for them to resist federal authority lawfully at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if the consequences, the knock-on consequences for this are substantial. If there was a conspiracy among various state authorities to just simply refuse to extend the protection of law enforcement to ICE officials, that might be a RICO conspiracy. And a conspiracy against rights, which would lead to federal criminal charges against Brandon Johnson and J.B. Pritzker. I wouldn't be surprised.
I will lean into that one. Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now. So, you know, I'm thinking about that chief of police giving that order. It sounded like on the dispatcher's call, they like read it back to clarify, like, are you saying that no help is coming? And they're like, yes, those are our orders. I've heard a lot of reports. Emily Campagno specifically, who I know does a lot of police work, she's of course a lawyer as well, was talking about the difference between the rank and file police officers who do have to follow orders from that chief of police. I mean, do you have anything to say about that? Is the chief of police being a political figure and his orders, of course, have to be followed by those people within his jurisdiction?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm hesitant to speak on the sort of intricacy of what is the law in Illinois mm-hmm. about the relative authority of the chief and police and their obligation to follow unlawful orders or follow orders that might be wrong. Because I know that in some cities, the mayors have an enormous amount of authority over the chief of police. The chief of police serves at the mayor's pleasure. So, you know, you actually have to go to the person who made the order there. And I don't know, they're not, police officers aren't lawyers, so they aren't bound by the same, you know, professional ethical obligations mm-hmm. that, say, a lawyer was or a doctor is, that would force them to say no to an order that they don't think is wise or an order they think is unethical. But, I mean, certainly if I were this chief of police, I would simply resign before I'd issue an order follow an order like that. Like, oh, you're telling me to ignore a vehicular assault because because it's an ICE official? No, I resign. Yeah. And I'm going public with why I did that. So I think the chief of police, I'm not going to go after line officers who follow the orders of their chief of police. I think that's crazy. But I think a chief of police is high enough up and with enough gravitas and stature that if he's willing to lead a department that treats ICE agents as beneath the protection of state law, well, that, you know, we're going to hold you accountable for that. That's a serious decision with real criminal consequences.
Yeah. And it's certainly not a slippery slope. That's a cliff. You can't come back from that. That is the end of the slippery slope that we saw this weekend with that call to stand down. Last question I have for you. We're speaking with Will Chamberlain. I'm curious about your thoughts on the resolve of the federal government, Homeland Security, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, to continue to pursue this. Of course, we're seeing the governor of Illinois. We've seen, of course, in Portland, Oregon, other of these blue states where they're putting this large effort in to try to send ICE in to remove those violent illegal immigrants from these communities. Do you see the pushback and the absolute rebuffing of all of these advances? Do you see that affecting in any way, shape or form what this administration is trying to do?
I'm extremely confident in the administration's will to enforce federal law from the top to bottom. You know, I know I follow Stephen Miller regularly. I talk with Harmeet Dhillon. I see what they're doing, and I'm confident that they're not going to let this slide. And it's really interesting how they are responding very quickly, exactly how I would want them to respond. We're immediately surging federal law enforcement resources, activating the National Guard, fighting aggressively to be able to bring the National Guard. They're currently complying with that court order in Portland, but I don't think that court order is long for this world. I think that's going to, I don't even think it's going to get to the Supreme Court. I think that court order is going to get reversed by the Ninth Circuit. They're doing what they need to do. And at the end of the day, I mean, the story of our country is that when states and local governments try and defeat and defy federal law to protect local domestic terrorists, they lose. That's the story of our country. It is very much on brand for the Democratic Party to try and protect local terrorist organizations from federal law enforcement. That's the story of the pre-Civil War era. That's the story of the Ku Klux Klan. And that's going to be the story here. They will lose. We will win.
Oh, the true distinction of this administration, in my experience of watching these types of things, is that they are unfettered. The more pushback, the more they double down. And it's the question keeps coming up. Is this what you voted for? And it's like, hell yes, this is what I voted for.
Yeah, there's nothing more instant. You know, I don't know if you remember watched Instant Karma, those videos that used to come up where somebody commits a crime and is instantly arrested.
Yeah.
Right. And those are incredibly satisfying to watch. They raise morale because it's just the immediacy of how dare you with justice brought to bear. And so I think that's what you're starting to see. Like, there's a great video yesterday of some Antifa guy spitting on an ICE official in Portland and instantly getting taken down and arrested for it. And you're like, great. Yep. Wonderful. Exactly what I voted for.
You know, you said the word karma, and that's a great word for it, but it's really just simply what's fair. People want to mm-hmm. live in a world that's fair, and we're getting back to that, and I'm grateful for it. Will, you're always a voice of clarity. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Will Chamberlain is a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, and we're always grateful to have him on here as we muddy through these issues that, of course, on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, the administration and all the detractors, there is a lot of pushback on in the legal space, and boy, am I not an expert on that, but I know experts, and I'm always grateful that they give you the time to come talk to you on this show. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get Ryan back in here. He's going to have the Monday roundup for Wiggins America in about 12 minutes or so, but we'll get to the YouTube live chat poll. When we come back, we're asking you today, have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you say you have been affected by the government shutdown?
No, I did not say that at all. I was reading comments.
No, you said at the beginning of the show, you didn't know you weren't affected by the government shutdown. You had a bank error in your favor. That's
yes.
What it was.
Yeah. Monopoly.
My dad's trying to get to the bottom of a small check that was sent to him, and nobody's there to answer the
Mine's bill. Not small. It was $644 2 months in a row. I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this?
And it says, like, on your
It says
statement?
Credit, National Bank, and then a bunch of numbers. And I'm like, I don't really know what this is from, though.
Did you Google?
I did.
What it said?
Yeah, I Googled the exact line from the bank statement to see, is this a normal thing? What does it mean? And it said, well, this code indicates this. It basically told me what I already knew, which is, this is a bank credit, but I still don't know what it's for. So it could be a dividend because it's that kind of bank. That maybe they're doing a payout to like their shareholders, which we are.
Who did you talk to about it?
AI. I didn't talk to the bank yet.
You don't want to talk to him because you don't want him to take the money back?
I'm kind of nervous about it.
Well, you think maybe you're a part of a crime.
Maybe. But if I'm unaware that I'm a part of a crime.
If you were Ryan Wiggins, accidentally a part of a crime, what kind of crime would it be?
It would definitely be some sort of like serious arson.
Arson?
Yeah, because I just... As I've said before, you said, what's the perfect night? I said, me and my family just sitting by the fire. And eventually, I might start fires elsewhere just because I like sitting by the fire.
I don't know how you get $644 twice out of that.
I don't know either.
It doesn't sound like a lucrative crime. It sounds more like a hate crime.
You said, what's my ideal crime, not what's this crime.
No, I didn't. I said, if you found yourself to be accidentally a part of a crime, what would it be?
Yeah.
And your answer was arson.
My answer was arson because I like just sitting by the fire. It's an old kind of depression era trait of mine.
He is that old.
Sitting by the fire, listening to FDR. Tell us everything's going to be okay for the next four terms.
I can assure you this because I'll be here the whole time.
Now, that does not, that does not solve the bank error thing. So to me, those things are unconnected.
If you have advice about what he should do about his bank error, or if you've ever experienced something like that, please tell us in the YouTube chat.
Look, I know that I could go talk to the bank. I'm just asking you to tell me before I do that to be knowledgeable about what I'm getting into.
Why don't you give me the phone number to your bank and I'll call them on a break and I'll just be your agent.
No, don't. Because even if I end up having to pay it back, at least I got a little loan for now.
Well, if you don't have to pay it back, then for figuring out the truth for you, you can just give me 10%.
No, thank you.
Carolyn Levitt from the press briefing room taking questions on the government shutdown. Let's just peek in and see what's
going on. Thank you for having me. I have two questions. First, President Trump told reporters yesterday that firings of federal employees are taking place right now. In which departments have people already been fired from their federal jobs due to the shutdown?
The president was referring to the hundreds of thousands of federal workers who have been furloughed as a result of this federal government shutdown, both here at the White House and across the entire federal government, at agencies across the board. There are federal workers who are staying home. Many of them work in the White House. You know them. Some of them sit just behind me at those desks. They are unable to show up to work right now because the Democrats chose to shut the government down. And so we're already, unfortunately, seeing the consequence of this. And then, of course, the Office of Management and Budget is continuing to work with agencies on who, unfortunately, is going to have to be laid off if this shutdown continues.
And Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the FDA was required by federal law to approve the new abortion pill last week. Is the administration considering steps to undo this in light of requests from pro-life Congress members and organizations?
I think Secretary Kennedy and the Department of Health and Human Services, as I addressed in the briefing last week, were following the law, and we will continue to do so. As I said last week as well, it's not an endorsement of this drug by any means. It's just a law that they were following. Jennifer.
We heard you say that you want people to call their Democratic senators. Is the president calling Democratic senators himself? Can you say what he's doing today to resolve the shutdown?
Yep. I was just in the Oval Office. He was on the phone with Speaker Johnson. He's also spoken with the Senate Majority Leader, who are in touch with, of course, moderate Democrats and Democrats across the board, who we understand, hopefully, want to do the right thing by their constituents to reopen the government. So the president is being kept very well apprised of the ongoing shutdown on Capitol Hill. And of course, his position is very clear. There's nothing to negotiate, just reopen the government, and then we can talk about all the important issues facing our country.
So he hasn't called specific members of Congress?
Not to my knowledge, no.
And then on the Affordable Care Act, is he willing to give more, to share more on what he'd like to negotiate on the Affordable Care Act later? Is he willing to say specifically what he would like and when?
But look, the president is definitely committed to fixing and improving our healthcare system. You saw it again last week when he had one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world coming into the Oval Office and promising to lower drug prices by 200, 300, 100% in many cases for various types of drugs for American patients. That is a huge fix to a broken system that has been ripping off the American people for far too long. So the president's very committed to this. But right now, we need to reopen the federal government, and the president is remaining very firm in that position. Carol. Catherine.
If the vote fails in the Senate today to reopen the government, would that trigger layoffs?
Look, again, we hope that the vote will not fail because this administration wants to reopen the government. We don't want to see people laid off. But unfortunately, if this shutdown continues, layoffs are going to be an unfortunate consequence of that.
So, Carolyn Leavitt taking questions. One question in the midst of all of that is, what does the president want to do to fix health care? What a big and looked over question.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing that the healthcare system that we have right now is Barack Obama's healthcare system?
And more expensive than ever.
I was having a conversation about this. The conversations are parallel. But the healthcare industry, because of the Affordable Care Act and Barack Obama, also known as Obamacare, but Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act, what they did is they required the American people to have health insurance. You have to have it. And if you didn't get it through your employer, you would get it from the government. If you didn't get it from the government, you would pay a penalty. And it was challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that Congress can make this law because it's considered a tax. And the government can tax you. They can't fine you in the same way that they can tax you. And the Supreme Court, they said the whole time, I don't know if you remember this part of it, but leading up to the passage of it and everything, it's not a tax. The Affordable Care Act is not a tax. They said it. That was the selling point, because the Republicans, what were they doing during the Affordable Care Act time? They were Tea Partying. And the Tea Party was saying no new taxes. And in the midst of all of no new taxes, the Democrats and President Obama were saying it's not a tax. And then they passed it, and then it was challenged in court, and the only way that it got to stick around is because Supreme Court deemed it was a tax and that it was within the purview of Congress to levy it.
And Obama's administration argued that it was a tax to the Supreme Court.
Ain't that the way it goes?
That's the way it goes.
And here we are 15 years later, and everyone thinks it sucks. Why is it so expensive? Because what the Affordable Care Act did was it forced you to have insurance. There used to be people who didn't have insurance because if they needed medical care, they'd go to the emergency room. Like if you got in a car accident, those folks now have to pay for they're paying into a system that they're not getting out of in order to balance out the kind of redistribution of wealth that takes place when you implement socialistic types of things like this. You force people into a system to overpay for things that they're underusing. And what you did is you guaranteed the companies, the businesses, the Democrats' buddies in the insurance agencies and the insurance companies, you guaranteed them that everybody would be a customer. Well, in this great country that we live in, the best case scenario for the consumer, for the customer, for the patient in this instance, is where healthcare companies, insurance companies, have to beg for you to utilize their services, which means that they have to, across a free market, compete for your services, for you as a client. They have to work to earn you. Barack Obama turned everything on its head and said, no, we'll guarantee that everybody has to become a client. Why would they have to compete? It's the exact same thing. Everyone talks about how expensive healthcare is. Democrats talk about how to give you money to afford the cost, but they don't ever talk about the cost. And it's the exact same thing with higher education. It's the exact same thing with college. We only talk about how to afford college. We never talk about why it costs so gosh darn much. It doesn't need to be that expensive, but we don't want to talk about that, do we? Well, I sure do. Let's do Wiggins America, Monday Roundup next. Don't go away. But if you close your eyes, you gotta keep them separated. Welcome back. YouTube poll. Have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? Maybe you're furloughed right now and you're listening to us because you're off work. Thanks for the company. We're happy to have you here. We're going to move Wiggins America to 145, but you did have one story we're going to get to here real quick.
The Treasury Department is considering minting a new coin. You know whose face is going to be on it?
Yours.
No.
No.
That's a great guess, though.
No.
It is one Donald Trump. He would be on both sides of this official U.S. currency. On one side, it would be like the bat signal when you see him at the profile. Now, it'd be the full face, not just the silhouette. But it'd be his full face profile. On the other side, and they've already released this, it would be him with the American flag behind him, raising that fist, fight, fight, fight.
Oh, really?
Across the top of it, United States of America, E Pluribus Unum. On that side, and In God We Trust on the other, 1776 to 2026.
If we would have been this far into Barack Obama's second term, talking about putting his face on a coin, everybody before it.
Oh my gosh! Yes, they. I think they have commemorative stuff like this all over the place. I walk past things in Disney World, and it'll say like, "Oh, here's a beautiful quote from Barack Obama." And nobody questions it at all. He's everywhere.
He's a president.
He's a president of the United States.
Yes, he was chosen by the people.
Now
just
they
like
didn't quite
Donald
do that.
Trump.
They did not quite do that with Biden as much. But
what would they have quoted?
Here's what's crazy about this.
Yeah, exactly. What would the quote say?
She, pause.
Sit back down, fat.
Come on, fat.
Here's what's crazy about this. That Congress, bipartisan legislation, passed this in 2020. But they did not know, because it is the coming 250th anniversary. They said, we need a special coin for that. Whoever's the president at the time will be able to mint that coin. They had no clue it would be Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump would say, why don't we put Donald Trump on it? So this has already been passed. It won't face lawsuits. It's not going to go through the whole thing. Donald Trump can literally just do this because Congress already approved it. So there you go. I would not be surprised if we see the Trump coin.
Wouldn't you want one of these?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I would seek that out for sure.
These will be collector's items.
Yeah.
Just like the Bicentennial is, but this one would be more so because there's a person attached to it. The Bicentennial just has like the...
One day, we're going to be 80 years old and we're going to talk about this time. And I can wait. I don't want to be 80 quite yet. But how is history going to look on this moment? It will be quite interesting to see. Steve Moore and Ryan Schmel is in the next hour. Stay right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.